Hey there, listeners. Thank you for taking time out of your week to listen in today. We're so glad you're here and are praying this message helps you. We also want to make sure you know about our latest podcast called the Anything's Possible Podcast. We've created it specifically with you in mind because we engage in deep conversations with people who are making both an impact here at our church and all around the city of Nashville. We believe everyone has a story to tell, a step to take, and that with Jesus, anything's possible. So make sure to subscribe today to the Anything's Possible podcast. You'll find it wherever you get your podcast. Okay, let's get you back to why you're here. Here's the latest message from Crosspoint Church.
Hey, Crosspoint, I am super excited today because we get a chance to hear from our good friend, Jeff Henderson. Now, I've known Jeff for a little over 8 years. We pastored churches down the street from one another back in Georgia, and we met at a conference, and then we quickly became friends. He's one of the most brilliant leaders that I know, and he has a special relationship with Crosspoint. He's been a valued voice here for years, a voice of wisdom and strength and encouragement when we needed it the most. And he's offered huge leadership wisdom and insight for our team. And on this For the One Sunday, we couldn't think of anyone better to talk about what it means to be for others and what it means to serve. That's just who Jeff is. So today I want to encourage you to ask God to speak to you because he wants to. And he's going to use this word from Jeff to do just that. And so at all of our campuses, what I'd love for you to do is put your hands together and give a Crosspoint welcome to our friend, Jeff Henderson.
Well, Crosspoint, it's so great to be back with you. I want to say hello to all of our campuses, our friends at God Behind Bars. And for today only, I'm changing my name to Jeff Hendersonville. And I want to give a shout out to the new campus, newest campus, Hendersonville. So proud of what you guys are doing. And I guess I'll see you this summer at the Henderson family reunion. That'll be awesome. So I'm so thrilled to be back. And I'm excited about what we're going to look at and learn. I believe God has something to say to us through the scriptures today. But before that happens, I wanted to pause and say thank you. And the reason I want to say thank you is I was here a little over 2.5 years ago before your senior pastor, Kevin Queen, started, and I challenged you to do something before he got here. I challenged you to write him and Ree and the kids a note, and I wanted everyone at all of our campuses to write notes. And when Kevin showed up, I wanted it to look like the North Pole in his office. And so a few days after he got here, Kevin sent me a text with a picture of stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks of cards and letters from you. And those weren't just cards and letters. Those were really prayers of encouragement that I think prepared the way for what you're experiencing now as a church 2.5 years later. I mean, goodness, you baptized 121 people 2 weeks ago. That's phenomenal. And to be a part of this movement of churches that's happening in Nashville is really extraordinary. So I just wanted to come back 2.5 years later and say thank you for actually doing what a pastor asked you to do. That's pretty remarkable. And I think you should give yourselves a round of applause for doing that and really help leading in terms of what God has done these last 2.5 years. Now, today, I want to lead you to what we're going to talk about today. I'm very excited about For the One and what we're talking about. But to do that, I want to set this up. Last month, February, is known by many people as the awards month. It's when the Academy Awards are giving out, the Grammys are giving out, the Golden Globes are giving out. There's a trophy called the Lombardi Trophy that's given out. That's the Super Bowl trophy. I'm from Atlanta. We've never received that in Atlanta. But with all due respect, neither have you, Nashville. So I'll just be honest with you. So I love all the awards, but my favorite awards, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, it's called the Darwin Awards. Have y'all heard of this? It's awards given for human stupidity. And I want to give you my favorite Darwin Award story. And believe it or not, this crazy true story will actually lead us to where I want to take us for a few minutes today. Now, I heard this story a few years ago from author John Ortberg, but it's a remarkable story. It's the story of Larry Walters. And I want to read you the actual news account of this story. And again, it'll set us up for the one today. This is the story of a guy named Larry Walters who wanted to fly. He was a risk taker, and he got an idea one day while sitting outdoors in an extremely comfortable Sears lawn chair. He purchased 45 weather balloons from an Army-Navy surplus store and tied them to his tethered lawn chair that he dubbed the Inspiration One. He filled the 4-foot diameter balloons with helium and then strapped himself into the lawn chair with some sandwiches, Miller Lite beer, and a pellet gun. Larry's plan was to sever the anchor and lazily fly to the height of about 30 feet above his backyard while enjoying a few hours of flight before coming down. He figured he'd pop a few brewskis, then pop some of the 45 balloons when it was time to descend and gradually lose altitude. But things did not work out as Larry had planned. When his friends cut the cord anchoring the lawn chair to his Jeep, he did not float lazily up to 30 feet. Instead, he streaked into the LA skies as if he was shot from a cannon, pulled by the lift of 45 helium balloons holding 33 cubic feet of helium each. He didn't level off at 100 feet. He didn't level off at 1,000 feet. After climbing and climbing and climbing, he leveled off at 16,000 feet. Which is 3 miles. I love this next line in the news report. At that height, he felt he couldn't risk shooting any of the balloons. So Larry finds himself in real trouble, and he decided just to stay up there. Drifting with his sandwiches and beer for several hours as he considered his options. At one point, he crossed the primary approach corridor of LAX Airport. Airline pilots radioed in these unbelievable reports of this strange sight. They told the story of a man who was flying across them in a lawn chair. They began every phrase with the same statement, "You're not going to believe this." Eventually, Larry gathered up enough nerve to shoot a few of the balloons, and slowly descended into the night sky. The hanging tethers tangled and caught to a power line, blacking out Long Beach neighborhood for 20 miles. Larry fortunately climbed to safety, where he was arrested by waiting members of the Los Angeles Police Department. He was led away in handcuffs, and this reporter, dispatched to cover the story, asked him, "Larry, why did you do this?" To which Larry nonchalantly responded, "Well, a man can't just sit around. You just can't sit around in life, right? You got to seize the day." Now, I love this. I don't love the story. Well, I do love the story, but I love what Larry's saying because in essence, you know this, time is your most valuable commodity and time is fleeting. And we have two options. We can spend time or we can invest time. When we spend time, and there's nothing wrong, you know, spending time and enjoying time, but over the time, we look up and we go, "Wow, where did all the time go?" When we invest time, we go, "Wow, I'm so glad I invested time that way because that was time well spent." So today we're talking about for the one. And I want to talk about a way, there's plenty of others, but I want to talk about one way that you can invest your time. And to give an example of what I'm talking about, I want to lean into a financial principle called compound interest. Now, Albert Einstein called this the eighth wonder of the world. And for those of you in the financial world, you understand this. Here's the simplest definition that I could find about compound interest. It's interest that earns on top of interest. So you have the investment, and that interest begins to build over time, and then several years down the road, you look up and you go, "Wow, the investment really multiplied over time." Now, this is true from a financial standpoint, but I want to talk about compound interest from a kingdom of God perspective. So what we're going to look at as it relates to compound interest is basically this. We're going to talk about how you can invest your life into someone else's life. So here's how compound interest works, not only from a financial standpoint, but from a personal kingdom standpoint as well. So let's say that you take your strengths and the great things and the successes and your wisdom and all that, and you invest it in someone's life, all right? Well, they take that example, that wisdom that you've given them, then they turn around and they share it with another person because of your investment in them. Then they take that, and then that person invests that as well. And then it goes on and on and on. And at some point, you have not just addition, you have multiplication. So that one investment that you made multiplies over time, over and over and over again, so that years down the road, people are impacted by you. This is a kingdom principle. In fact, I would say all of us have been impacted in some form or fashion by this. Now, when you see this, you think, well, that makes sense, you know, the wisdom, the success, the things that we're really good at. But here's what I want to lead you into today. I want to talk about a powerful opportunity for you. I want to talk about a powerful reality for for you. And it's not just the good things and the smart things and the talented things that God can use in a life. I want to show you something that's powerful and true and is an opportunity and an invitation from your Heavenly Father to you today. So let me set this up by asking you this question. Have you ever gone through something in your life and wondered, why, God? Why did you allow this to happen? Or, God, why? Why did you allow this to happen to me? Now, the reality is there are things that happen to us and there are things that we do to our lives, right? But the reality for us is that you have trials, you have tragedies, you have tribulations. That's all of our stories. In fact, if I were to ask you to raise your hand and say, have you ever had any trials or tribulations or tragedies? I think all of us would raise our hands. In fact, if you're here at any of our campuses today and you've never had a trial, you've never had a tragedy, and you've never had a tribulation, and your life has just gone exceedingly well, on behalf of the rest of us, we hate you. And here's why. And the reason I say that is because we know every one of us could raise our hands. But that's a part of life. Isn't it true that good and bad travel on parallel tracks? So it's easy for us to go, God can use the successes. It's easy for us to say, God can use my strengths. It's easy for us to say, God can use my talents. But what about the bruises? What about the fractures? What about the trials and the scars and the tribulations? And what I want to present to you today is that there is a story that God is writing, not only in the good, but in the difficulty of life. And what I have observed, I'm 54 years old. I'll be 55 on Saturday if you want to get me a birthday gift. I have observed this in my life. I have seen people say things like this. They would say, you know what? I wouldn't want to go through that. I wouldn't sign up for that. But I'm amazed that God leveraged it for other people. And what I've discovered is this is kind of what God does so much in our lives. It's basically this, that God marks across some of our days, we'll explain later, we'll explain later, we'll explain later. I don't know how this is necessarily going to work, but I have a theory about heaven. For the first 1 million years of heaven, here's what we're going to hear. We're going to hear, oh, now I see what you were doing. I couldn't see it down there, but now from heaven's perspective, I see what you were doing the whole time. And so what God is saying is, by the way, I'm God, all right? Just trust me, we'll explain later. Does that make it any easier? No. In fact, part of my concern for today's message is some of you that are going through trials and tragedies and tribulations right now, it may seem to you that I'm making light of it. It may seem to you that I'm saying, just get over it. That is not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is this. If there is a way, as I said earlier, that we could push a button to avoid the pain, we would. That option's not available to you. That option's not available to me. But there is a button to push that will actually bring purpose to your pain. And I want to talk about how that happens so that when you get through that, you can come and say, you know what? I wouldn't want to sign up for that. But even so, God could get glory from it. God can use it and gain glory from it. You know what? I wouldn't want to sign up for it. But even so, looking back, I never thought I would say this. But as difficult as that was time well spent. And so here's the bottom line. Here's what I want to lead you into today. All right, there's a bottom line, and it looks like it's a formula, but it's not really a formula, but I want you to hopefully remember it, because this is true for all of us, all right? You've got your pain, you've got your trials, your tribulations, your tragedies, and there are things in your life that you think that God couldn't possibly use, but here's where we're going for a few minutes today. Pain plus purpose equals peace. Look, I wish I could push a button and make the pain and the scars and the trials in your life go away. I can't do that. But what I can do through the power of God's word is I can show you how this button works, the button of purpose. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to push that button. And then when you push that button and you're faithful here, Jesus does what Jesus does. And he brings us his peace. In fact, isn't this what he promised us? He said, I will leave you my peace. That's what he promised, all right? So pain, have you got pain? Yeah, we've all got stories of pain. Some of you are in there right now. But through the power of God and who Jesus is, he can take that pain and he can leverage it for your good and for the good of others and for his glory. And in that, move you to a season of peace. And what I want you to know is those scars, those bruises, those trials, those fractures, those tragedies, there can be purpose that comes out of it. And that's good news for all of us. So what I want to do is I want to show you how this works today. To do that, I'm going to do three things. I'm going to read you a letter, I'm going to read you an email, and I'm going to show you a video. Three different stories, three different situations, all of which deal with pain, all of which show purpose, and all of which had led to peace, all right? So let me read you the letter, then I'll read you the email, then I'll show you the video, and then I've got a call to action, and then we'll be done. So here's the letter. The letter begins like this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. This is a letter that the apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. And it's easy to kind of fly by this, but I want to pause and go, when this was written, even in these days, when this was written, for many people, this was still shocking information. Because they had heard of who this guy named Paul was, because they knew before Paul, there was Saul. And if you're not familiar with this guy, Paul is a church planter, but before Paul, the amazing church planter, there was Saul, the fierce church persecutor. That's who this man is. And suddenly, this guy is he's turned upside down in terms of who he is. And he is the unlikeliest candidate to be the greatest church planter of all time. And that's part of the point. God said, the guy that's persecuting a church, that's the one I'm going to use to spread the message of the church. And when you see this, this isn't even a full verse, half a verse. Here's what I want you to see. Everybody's welcome. Nobody's perfect. Anything's possible. Everybody's welcome. Nobody's perfect. Anything is possible. You can take a church persecutor and turn him into a church planter. And he's writing this, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And when Saul has an encounter with Jesus, and eventually comes Paul, he is first sent a messenger, a man named Ananias. And Ananias is sent a message from Jesus to Paul that says, Paul, Saul, you must suffer much for my sake. Which isn't the most encouraging message, you know, when you've come to faith in Christ, you're going to suffer much for my sake. But the reason for that is Jesus is saying to Saul, who would later be Paul, you're going to suffer much, but you are going to be an example of how pain can lead to purpose, which leads to peace. And so Paul is writing this letter to the church in Corinth. And in essence, what he does in these five verses, he shows us how to make that come alive in our lives. Pain plus purpose equals peace. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, who he is mentoring, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia. And then he's going into verse 2, and he says this, grace, and here's our word, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to pause and say this to all of our campuses and our friends at God Behind Bars, here's some great news. Grace and peace is available to you from God your Father through Jesus Christ. I don't know what you're going through, but what you can know today is that God's favor is upon you and God is for you when you place your faith in Jesus. And so what Paul is leading us to is this idea of peace. And then he begins to unpack how this whole formula, if you will, works. That pain plus purpose equals peace. This is what he says in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. So what this means is that when we have trials and tragedies and tribulations, the God of all compassion and the God of all comfort, he comforts us in all our troubles. So that's great. So God comforts us. That's awesome. But that doesn't bring the purpose. There's still yet a purpose to be made here. Just because God is comforting me doesn't bring me any purpose. That's why these next two words in this verse are so vitally important for us to understand how this works. These next two words are so that there's a reason that God comforts you. There's a reason that God brings compassion to you. There's a reason that God's compassion and comfort flows to you, because it's ultimately going to flow not just to you, but through you. And here's how this works as the verse continues. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Here's how this works. By the way, if you've got any trials, scars, bruises, tragedies, tribulations, this is when you should lean into this moment, because here's what happens. As God comforts you in whatever that situation may be, as God comforts you and as the God of all compassion comes to you, then as you're minding your own business, going through your life, then you begin to interact with someone who's experienced something very similar. And then you're able to comfort them as God has comforted you. This is how this works. And this is why verse 5 is so important. Verse 5 says this: "For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." Here's what this means. As God has comforted us, that comfort overflows into others' lives. And as they experience that comfort, then they're able to turn around and comfort others. And the value of compound interest, that value of the purpose, of leveraging the purpose of what you went through, begins to build and encourage other people in their lives. And there's purpose. Yes. Would we still want to avoid the pain? Absolutely. We can't do that, but we can push the button of purpose. And the way you find this, the way you experience this, one of the ways is a platform that we call personal ministry. Personal ministry. For those of you who are followers of Jesus today, you should have this. You do have this, whether you know it or not. Now, I spent a number of years in the business world, and when I left the business world to go do what I'm doing now as a pastor, the question I get still to this day is, "Jeff, tell us about your decision to go from the business world into full-time ministry." And I understand the question, but the question is flawed theologically, because I already was in full-time ministry. I'm not going to full-time ministry. I became a follower of Jesus at 10. I'm a preacher's kid. That's what we do, right? And so at 10, I became a follower of Jesus. So when I was a busboy at the Peachtree World of Tennis, where Kevin Queen knows where that is, I was already in full-time ministry. When I worked in marketing at Chick-fil-A, I was already in full-time ministry, and that wasn't because I was working at Christian Chicken. The reality is if you're a follower of Jesus, you are in full-time ministry. So I don't know what I need to do. If I need to do this, I can do that. But congratulations, you're in full-time ministry. So don't let this word intimidate you of personal ministry. In fact, if you're in the business world, oh my goodness, what an incredible platform to have a personal ministry. But specifically, as it relates to Crosspoint today, I want to invite you in to a way that you can experience personal ministry, so that as you serve, what happens is God does what God does. He takes your story, the good, yes, but also the challenges and the trials and tribulations, and he begins to connect them to other hearts and to other lives and allow the comfort that you receive from God to flow to them. This is why, Crosspoint, we have opportunities here for you to serve at all of our locations, all of our campuses, and here's why this is important. When it comes to your time at Crosspoint, you'll never know. You'll never experience what the church can do for you until you experience what the church can do through you. You'll never experience what the church can do for you until you experience what the church can do through you. And here's what I love. This will happen. Now, we have over 1,400 people serving at all of our locations at Crosspoint. That's phenomenal. If you've taken a break and you're not serving, that's cool. I totally understand that. But for some of you, that break's been 5 years. It's time to get back in the game. For some of you, this is your first time here. I'm telling you, it is a fantastic opportunity for you to step up, because this church is going places. And the reason we're calling this For the One is here's how this happens. As you sign up to serve, and let's just say it's in the parking lot, and you're serving in the parking lot, and maybe it's with somebody that you're serving with, you begin to have a conversation with them, and you begin to see that their story is connected to something in your story, and you're able to provide compassion and comfort to them the way that God had comforted them, and comforted you rather, and it becomes For the One. But it's not just For the One, it's for the one through the one, because as you invest in that person's life, they're gonna turn around, turn around, turn around, and your story is leveraged for the kingdom. Now, I told you I was gonna read you a letter. That's one story. Paul's story is indicative of this. I want to read you this email. This email is from a friend of mine. His name is Will. He is my son's small group leader. My son Cole is a high school senior, so we got a few more weeks with Cole in high school, and then Wendy and I are going to be empty nesters this August. But a couple of years ago, Will sent all of the parents of his small group, as Cole's in his small group, he sent all of us parents, it's about 10 of us, an email. And the subject line of the email was pornography. That'll catch a parent's attention, especially of high schoolers. And so here is Will's email. He says, "Does the subject line grab your attention, parents?" We would say yes. "The word itself makes you cringe. But the boys in my group are starting to fight in one of the toughest battles they're going to fight. A few of the boys have asked me to help lead them in this battle. I'm so proud of them for having the courage to want to do this. The topic of pornography, sex, and all that surrounds can be a tough, awkward conversation. And I'm excited to partner with you parents in starting these conversations. I hope this is not too much information, but I'm passionate about this because it was a 15-year struggle for me. I know the grasp it can have on a young man's mind and heart. I struggled," parents don't miss this, this is coming from Will, "I struggled from 8th grade until 3 years into my marriage. My life became a constant search for instant gratification followed by crippling shame. All of this while being married and having 2 kids. Eventually, I hit rock bottom. In a pool of tears, I asked God to change my heart. It was a simple prayer, but the most authentic one I had ever prayed. God did not answer my prayer overnight, but he's been with me every step of the way. I truly believe that life change is going to happen through this, not just for these boys, but for their friends, their female friends, their future girlfriends, their future wives, and their future kids. My 4 children will be influenced, and I'm so grateful for that. I tell these guys all the time, never underestimate the amount of influence you have. Someone is always watching." So here's Will. Here's Will. What he would say is his most crippling shame, that something a guy could never use. God begins to bring healing and comfort and compassion in his life and heals him of this. And he signs up to serve as a small group leader. And in the course of the conversation, the idea, the topic of pornography comes up, and Will suddenly realizes how he has been given comfort from God is the way that he's now going to minister to my son and these other young men. This is how this works. In fact, let me show you how this works. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. "So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort and the healing and the wisdom that we ourselves have received from God." So when I talked to Will, I said, "Hey, can I share this story in Nashville?" And he said, "My wife, Emily, and I are so thrilled that God could leverage this story for someone else's good." But the reason I tell you this is there's some of you that feel like you have been disqualified from serving God's kingdom and serving God's church because of something that no one else knows about but you and God. I just want to let you know that in Will's case, that crippling shame that he mentioned, or that bruise, or that heartache, or that failure, or that fault, it's actually the thing God wants to use often the most. And this is how this works. So here's the call to action, Crosspoint. For those of you that are serving, way to go. For those of you that are on the sidelines right now, I want to give you a step forward to do this at all of our churches. And here's how you do this. You simply text SERVE to 615-270-2428. Now, if you're an introvert, this is a fantastic option, all right? But if you're an extrovert and you want to go talk to somebody, you can go to the info center at all of our churches today. Say, "Hey, I want to sign up to serve." Or if you want to do both, that's great. But what we need you to serve as a church because the church is growing. You just add in Hendersonville. We got to keep up the pace with what God's doing here. But I want you to experience this as well. So you text SERVE to 615-270-2428. The team here will get back with you and they will begin having conversations to put you in the ball game so that you can have a personal ministry here. And I'll just say this. If you don't do this and you come to Crosspoint Sunday after Sunday, year after year, eventually you're going to get disenchanted with the place because it's not yours. I don't want that to happen. I want you in the ballgame. But more importantly, forget about me. Your Heavenly Father is writing a story with you, and the way he has comforted you, it needs to flow through you to someone else. And when you step up to serve, God does what God does. That's why we're calling this For the One. When it comes to being For the One, though, there is a compound interest over time that is always bigger than just for one person. So I told you I was going to read you a letter. That was the Apostle Paul. I was going to read you an email. That's Will. I'm going to show you a video. Three different stories, three different pains and suffering, if you will, but one same powerful God. This story happened 4 weeks ago at our church in Atlanta, in Gwinnett County, where Kevin's from. And we baptized Courtney. When we baptized people at our church, we asked them to do a short video. And when I saw this video, I thought, there it is. There's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. There was something in Courtney's life that she never thought God could use. And yet it was one of the things God powerfully used to lead our church 4 weeks ago and to now share with you. This is Courtney's story from 4 Sundays ago.
Hi, my name is Courtney Hall. I did not grow up in a Christian home. We went to church with my grandparents for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. After I got married, me and my husband would go to North Point occasionally, but after kids came along and everything, life went crazy and we just quit going. When we heard that a Gwinnett location was opening up, we couldn't wait. It felt like home, and our boys loved Wombaland. The first Christmas service of 2011, I took a candle and I gave my life to Jesus. Ever since then, I have wanted to get baptized, but making this video is what stopped me. As you can tell, I have a stuttering problem, so public speaking is extremely hard. Just thinking of everyone seeing and hearing me stutter brings on a lot of anxiety. Just before the summer of 2013, I felt Jesus put on my heart that I should serve, but I didn't know where. I didn't know where I could fit in because of my stuttering. I chose Upstreet because I love kids and they don't ever see a problem with my stuttering. In my women's small group a couple months ago, a question was asked, what strength did God give you to help others? I felt Jesus put on my heart stuttering, and I can tell you that I would put stuttering as my biggest weakness. A couple years into our volunteering, we had a student come in that had a strong stutter, and it broke my heart. After church, I broke down, and my husband encouraged me to talk to him next week. In the beginning of class the next week, we spoke, and he felt encouraged that someone knew exactly what he was going through. See, kids in Upstreet, they might ask why I stutter, and I tell them, and they just say, cool, and they go on about their day. Kids are amazing, and they love everyone no matter what. But this gave me a bigger opportunity to show kids how God made us all just a tiny bit different. And you might just have to give us a tiny bit more time to talk and just some patience, because it takes me a little bit longer to get everything out. I think everyone in my women's small group was in tears, just like I was, and they encouraged me to share my story. I put in my request to get baptized, and I think I had a panic attack just thinking about making this video and all of you seeing and hearing me stutter. Gwinnett Church and Jesus have changed my life. Thank you to my husband, family, small group for all the encouragement and prayers, and all the Upstreet kids. I have had the pleasure to be your small group leader. You have made me the person I am today. I am so grateful that God used my stutter to grow my faith in Jesus. I am here today to let everyone know I am forever free.
Isn't that great? I don't want you to miss this, and I'm going to pray we're done. Courtney serves, but she's like stuttering, you know, I don't know how God's going to do that, how God's going to use this, but I'm going to go in there anyway. And here's a little boy with a stuttering problem. She was the most qualified person at the church that day. I want that for you. Because you might not have a stuttering problem, but you got challenges, trials, and tribulations. God is writing a story in your life, and someone needs to hear that story. And we do that when you text this number, when you step up to serve and say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, and I don't know who you're going to connect me with, but you are the God of the impossible. I'm ready. Let's go. Father, thank you for this amazing church. Thank you for all of our campuses. Thank you for the stories that you are writing. Thank you for the over 1,400 volunteers that have served. And in this moment, God, thank you for those that are going to go out in the lobby, text that number, and take a step forward. But I thank you even more that those stories, when they text or go to the lobby, the info center, that they're actually going to connect with somebody down the road, and you're going to write a story, and you're going to create compounding interest for the kingdom. And that's the power of what you do in our lives. Yes, in the good things, but in the brokenness. Even in that, you can bring glory and good. So thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for those that serve. Thank you for those that will sign up. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.